Okay, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Good morning, y'all. Good morning. Thank you, Alan. Matthew chapter 6, we are continuing the Sermon on the Mount here. And as we get ready for this, anybody here remember our word for the year? What's our word for the year? Loyalty. All right. And y'all, we're going through the book of Matthew, which presents Jesus as the king who deserves our loyalty in a world right now where it seems like there are a million different things and people who are demanding our loyalty, demanding us to take a side, demanding us to choose. And I want to say that wherever God puts you in the world, what he's looking for is someone who's wholly loyal to him. Amen. This morning, you can see that the title of this sermon is this: Loyalty, Living for an Audience of One. And I think of that quote that I mentioned in one of the services a few weeks ago of D.L. Moody. And if you don't know anything about D.L. Moody, just go on the internet, go to Wikipedia and learn a few things about how this guy just affected all kinds of things in the world in the name of Jesus. And part of what lit his fire was when this British evangelist said to him, Moody, the world has not seen what God's going to do with a person who's wholly loyal to him. Where's your loyalty? So here's what I'm going to do. I want to give a little picture of, I'm calling this, of loyalty. And then we're going to go through the text and we're going to just flesh this out. What does it mean? It's not going to be a 1 or 2 point sermon. I'm going to just have several things for us to think about. What does it mean to live for an audience of one? Now, get ready. This video is 37 seconds long. So you're going to have to be, you can't blink, okay? And I am going to ask for your observations. If it's just the color of a tulle or somebody's shirt, that'll be fine. You got it? So you're going to give some observations. Now, let's watch. This happened last Saturday.
You want to be best friend? Come on. You got this right here. You got this pad right here. We're going to make the pad right here. We have to get some porridge.
So that's my grandson, Zeke. That's his dad. They're digging out a pad for a shed they're going to make. So what did you observe? Let's not be shy. Okay, Ramsey, what did you observe? The son is doing what he sees his daddy doing. Troy, same thing. Anything else you observe? What's that? Oh, the sunlight coming through on them. Nice. What was that over there? The son was delighting in his father. You know, Dan, I was showing this to somebody, and we were talking about, is he working or is he playing? And you know, about that delighting thing, this is Matt. That we have some other videos of this. Zeke is orbiting around his father. His whole life in that moment, he's just orbiting around his father. He's not, you know, we didn't tell Zeke we're going to take some pictures of this and we're going to show it to the church. This wasn't for his, you know, social media fan club, right? Okay. And there's this sense that in that moment, there's nobody else on earth except his daddy. And you know what's fascinating, y'all? If you watch it, you will see Zeke take several loads on his wheelbarrow into where they're hauling that dirt off. And then I got a video last night. Now they've poured gravel in it, and Matt is tamping it down with this tamper. And Zeke is doing the same thing. And somebody's going to come to their house in about a month, and the shed's going to be built. And they're going to walk in, and they're going to say something like this: Matt, that's a pretty awesome shed you built. And Zeke's going to think, wait a minute, my daddy and I built that shed, right? And if he says it out loud, that person's going to kind of go, yeah, son, that's kind of cute. But the reality is this. When that shed is finished, Zeke is going to have made lots of real life contributions to that shed 3 years old. And I want to say to all of us who are like 3 years old before an eternal Father in heaven, the God who created the world and all it contains, the God right now who's calling people to himself, the God right now who's wanting to do good works on this earth, to feed, to take care of the poor, to feed the hungry, that God is wanting to use you. And the world has not known. Do you believe this, church? The world has not known what God will do with a man or a woman wholly loyal to him, living for an audience of one. You want to be that? I want to be that. So let's understand what that means as we walk through this text. Now, if you look at verse 2, it talks about giving to the needy. At verse 5, it talks about praying. At verse 18, it talks about fasting. Jesus takes three practical acts of living in loyalty with God in heaven. Really, spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines, it's not the only ones. It just happened to be those were the big three of the day. They were prominent. You did them publicly. In fact, if you were a single man, if you were doing these really good, it helped you get a bride. We have others that we know part of the Christian life is to gather as a church. That's one of our practices. We've said this year, church, that we want to focus on making sure we read our Bible, read our Bible, read our Bible, right? So these are not the only three. Only three practical ways of living out loyalty with our God. So I want us to think about this idea. What does it mean living for an audience of one? And the first one I want to say is this. Loyalty, living for an audience of one, means you relate to God as Father. Okay? You relate to God as Father. Hey, before you check out and say, you know what, I've heard this before, I want you to hear how important this is, how practical this is, and how much this was on Jesus' heart. Anybody count how many times the word Father is in 18 verses there? Just look at your text for a second. See how quickly you can count this. The word Father in 18 verses. Our Father in heaven, our Father who is in secret, your Father will reward you. Anybody get it? 10 times in 18 verses. You think Jesus wants you to see something here? This is perhaps the most densely populated 18 verses to cause us to think about God as Father. For some of you, this is the only thing you need to hear today. You write this down and you can check out, okay? You get to relate to God the same way Jesus related to God when he was on this earth. Do you hear that? You get to relate to the God who created the world and all it contains the same way Jesus related to God. Is that mind-boggling? How did Jesus relate to God? I and the Father are one. I just do whatever I see my Father doing. Yo, you know, often when we talk about spiritual practices like giving or fasting or praying or reading our Bibles, you know, there's often it can lead to this self-consciousness, this hypervigilance, this questioning, am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? Let me tell you, the foundation of this is a Father in heaven. And I will tell you, when Jesus was on the earth, there was no hypervigilance with Jesus, no self-consciousness, no anxiousness. You get to relate to God as Father, and I want to press you today because I know we live in a world where it feels like God is kind of risky. Y'all, that's not the best theology to say God is risky, okay? I said it feels like to me at times God is a little risky. because he takes imperfect parents. Any imperfect parents here? I want to make sure everybody raised their hands there. He takes imperfect parents and he says, at the heart of how I'm going to relate to you is you're the child, I'm the parent. And so I want you to see something, because I know right now, I know there are some hearts out here right now that you're like this. And I got to get you to uncross your arms, because this is foundational. When I say loyalty, living for an audience of one, it's crazy. And yes, you understand God wants to relate to you as a father. I was riding my bike across the country in 2019 in June. We pull out of this little town in, we pull into a little town in New Mexico in the middle of nowhere. There's 7 buildings and 1 building has a place where you can eat. We stop and I see this guy who says something to me first. I start talking to him. His name's Mike. And Mike is semi-homeless. And here's why Mike is semi-homeless, because he has 3 children. And he and his wife got divorced. He says, I'm not leaving those 3 kids, because when I was 6 years old, my parents had 3 kids, and they couldn't afford us, keep us, handle us. I'm not sure the whole story. This is Mike speaking. And he says, they left me behind. They got up and they moved everything and left me behind. And so Mike and I are talking for about 2 hours that day. And every 15 minutes, Mike looks at me and says, what did I do as a 6-year-old? And I want you to just watch 60 seconds of our interaction. This is after about an hour of listening to Mike, okay?
You know, in church, you might have heard this, that God is like a father.
Yeah, he's good all the time.
He's good all the time. He's a good, good father, is a song we sing sometimes. And you know, Mike, I believe you have a father in heaven who, unlike your earthly father, would love to sit down and have a meal with you and say, I think you're the most awesome son in the whole world.
Yes, sir. I would love that. Like, man.
And a father in heaven, you know,
just
what, Mike?
Just that love, that attention. Like,
when he come, he, like, imagine him coming home from work and you sitting in the house, and that father in heaven, you know what makes his day? The thing he loves the most is when he comes home and you say, Daddy, I'm here. And he says, I'm so glad, son, I missed you all day.
Yeah, I thought about you the whole day. Like, you're always on my mind. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
You are always on his mind. Loyalty, living for an audience of one, means that audience is your father. And your father will reward you. Living for an audience of one means that you're going to be rewarded by your father. Did you notice, did you hear how many times in the text it said, your father who sees what is done in secret will reward you? Your father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Your father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Yo, I want you to hear this. The Bible, it talks all over the place about this idea of rewards. It talks about we're getting this reward of inheritance. We're getting a reward that is not going to ever perish, spoil, or fade. That we're getting something better than earthly cities. And you know what? Some of you need to hear this. Your reward from your Father in heaven, the one you want to be loyal to, let me tell you, it's not a reward like working for a demanding boss, okay? Or performing for a coach who you know your performance is going to say something about how good that coach is. And you know what that produces? Anxiety, self-consciousness, overthinking it. You know, when Zeke is building that shed, what is so beautiful is the question, does Matt need Zeke to put a few shovel loads of dirt into the wheelbarrow and haul it off? No, he does not. However, is Zeke's contribution absolutely real? Yes, it is. Is Matt thrilled that Zeke is being a part of that with him? Oh, you better believe he is, because we had a long talk about it this week, okay? You know, Jesus, when speaking on rewards one time, he was talking about some masters and servants, and he said, well done, and I'm going to put you in charge of even greater things. Zeke's going to do greater things with his dad. But the part I love is when Jesus says this, enter into the joy of your master. Y'all, when we talk about loyalty living for an audience one, let's make it clear here. We're not talking simply about grinding it out for the rest of your life and being miserable. We are talking about a God in heaven who the psalmist says, in your presence is fullness of what, church? Joy. And you know, when Zeke is running around there, it's not clear, is he doing work or is he playing, because he is so joyful. I'm telling you, that's what God has for us. That's what he has in store. And can you imagine Zeke's got that, you know, I don't know what it is, 30 seconds of joy just in that video. Now you add a piece of 30 seconds of joy to that and another one and a string of those that are never broken. God in heaven wants to reward you, and it is about joy. Can you believe that today? Can you receive that today? And if you're struggling and the arms of your heart are crossed, I'm going to ask you right now, nobody has to know this, you say, God, help me receive it. Help me receive it, because everything else about your life is only going to be misery and work filled with anxiety and self-consciousness without it. Loyalty, living for an audience of one, means this. God is our Father. We relate to God as Father. It means you will be rewarded. And it also means this, church. In light of what Jesus is saying here, it means you resist something here. Zeke has no idea that there's this whole world out there watching him right now, right? You resist this thing our society has called virtue signaling. Got it? How many know what I mean when I say virtue signaling? Not everybody does. I purposely use this term, knowing not everybody was going to know what this means, because it's a term we've grabbed in light of social media. And let's be honest that there is a world right now demanding us to do everything we do publicly. I have a definition here of virtue signaling. Let's bring it up so you know what I'm talking about here. Virtue signaling, do we have that definition there? Thank you. The action or practice of publicly expressing opinions or sentiments intended to demonstrate one's good character or the moral correctness of one's position on a particular issue. Sound familiar? The action or practice of publicly expressing opinions or sentiments intended, here's the motivation, for you to demonstrate your good character, your moral correctness of one's position on a particular issue. I want to tell you, the Pharisees were the original virtue signalers. Look at verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Verse 2, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by them. Verse 5, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. When you fast, don't look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others their fasting. That's virtue signaling. It's spiritually showing off. It's a motivation that says, I do what I do simply so others can see. And you know what? Jesus condemns that. Whew. Y'all, this week as I was just going about thinking that I was going to get ready to tell you that Jesus condemns acts that are simply done so others can give you a pat on the back. And I'm in this business professionally. I found myself this week just kind of going, oh, Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I'm also very aware We live in a culture, y'all, that is creating an appetite in us for this, right? How many watched Super Size Me, that documentary several years ago? You know, the guy, he ate McDonald's every meal for 30 days and would supersize. And one of the things that came out of that was this deal where it said, people observed this and talked more about it even later, that when he was doing that, it was decimating his good gut microbes. And it was also creating more and more bad gut microbes. Church, let's be honest here. A demand in a culture where we live all of our lives to let everybody know everything we're doing all the time is creating huge, huge appetite in our heart that is full of these bad heart microbes. Amen. Do you know, y'all, they did a survey, and I don't know how many people they surveyed, whatever, but it was for kids 6 to 17. They said, what do you want to be when you grow up? 75% of them said, let me tell you what they didn't say. They didn't say, be a doctor, lawyer, preacher, whatever. 75% said they wanted to be a what? Social media star, YouTuber. Thank you, Casey. You think there's not an appetite growing? And Jesus says this, guys, in my economy, what I'm looking for is some people who are loyal to me and they're living for an audience of one. See, living for an audience of one means this. Here's my fourth thing here, fleshing this out. It means that you have parts of your life that are reserved for God alone. Got it? Parts of your life that are reserved for God alone. Your Father who sees what is done in secret. Your Father who is in secret. Parts of your life reserved for God alone. You say, why is that important? I think there are a lot of things, but I think it's partly important for this, two things, for your clarity and your joy, for your spiritual clarity and your joy. That we actually need some time to get away from the noise that is decimating our spiritual clarity because we have to put everything in public. And every time I'm needing to put everything in public, what does it do? It twists off my emotion, right? It twists off the purity of my motivation. And there's something there about joy, y'all, because, you know, if Zeke is stopping every 5 minutes thinking he's going to be on camera, it ruins the moment, doesn't it? Is there anything we do reserve for God alone? I got to say one more thing here about this. You know, the other big image, in a world where it's almost like we hate talking about any kind of traditional family stuff, it's interesting to me that God uses these images as the key images for us to connect to Him. It's not meaning everybody has to have a traditional family. It's just that's the images God chooses to use. So you go into Genesis and you read about this thing called marriage, about a man and a woman in a long-term committed relationship called marriage. And in that thing happens this super joyful thing called physical intimacy between a man and a woman. And you know what? This idea of marriage and that happening, you can hardly read in your Bible without coming across that image as showing this, what God is like and how we relate to Him and what the joy we get to have when we're with Him. Are you surprised we're trying to undo that? And here's the thing. I hope everybody here who's married, you have some moments of intimacy with your spouse that you don't talk about with anybody else, right? And I'm telling you this because this is the level of joy and excitement and pleasure that God wants us to have in our relationship with Him for all of eternity. So I want to ask you seriously, is there any parts of your life you have reserved for God alone? Anybody here reading your Bible on a daily basis, getting to know Him, getting to know what it might look like for you to be loyal to Him and what He might want to do with you in this world today? I don't care how bad you think it is. Now, Jesus doesn't take a deep dive on fasting, doesn't take a deep dive on giving. I'll say something about fasting in light of this whole idea of spiritual clarity and joy. Fasting is making space for God in your life. Got it? Sometimes it has to do with food for some people. Sometimes it has to do with a whole lot of other stuff. Making space for God in your life. And you know why I connect this to clarity and joy? Because I think about Zeke. Y'all didn't know this, but Zeke was actually having some time fasting from playing with his toys in the house to be with his dad. You know, y'all, this is so cool. Matt rented a cement mixer yesterday and got about 50 bags of concrete. I just got this text from Natalie last night. Zeke is having the most exciting day of his life. They got a cement mixer, and him and his dad are going to be pouring concrete. Can you believe that? But it wouldn't happen if he was in the house on some screen. Now, we need to mention the Lord's Prayer because we got it here. It's the ultimate prayer. So I want to say two things about loyalty in light of the Lord's Prayer. Loyalty, living for an audience of one, means this: you adore Him. You adore Him. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know what's fascinating about the Lord's Prayer? Half of it is just adoration before you ever get to request. Y'all, this is why when, if you join us on Facebook prayer during the week on at noon, half the time is spent just adoring Him, because that's how Jesus worked it out. You know, sometimes I'll hear people say, you know, I like coming to church, but I wish we did less music, less of that worship time, and let's just get down to the meat of the thing. I want to tell you, worshiping and adoring your Father in heaven is the meat of the thing. I'm telling you, you need to soak, because it makes no sense at all to say I'm going to be loyal to one that I'm not sure how good He is, how wonderful He is. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Zeke, Daddy, it is so awesome to be with you. And then what's the next phrase? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Adoration. Zeke saying, Dad, I just want to be with you. I want to do whatever you have for me to do, however you want to do it, however long you want to do it. You know, I got a text last night, Natalie, some Zeke quotes. Matt snuck off to Home Depot without telling Zeke yesterday. Zeke freaks out. I wanted to go to Home Depot. I'm the helper. Zeke, I'm sorry, but I'm the helper. Zeke, your dad's in charge. What? I'm in charge. No, your daddy's in charge. And then Zeke, a light bulb goes off. He goes, what's being in charge mean? But he's adoring his Father even in that moment. Wait, I wanted to be with Him at Home Depot, right? Now, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You talk about an adoration statement of loyalty. I want you to think about this for a moment. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Anybody go, when you hear that? Those of you who've been reading your Bible this year, can I just remind you about a guy named Joseph? Your kingdom come, your will be done. And he spends a bunch of years in a prison cell so God's kingdom will come and will be done to save the Jews, to make sure there's a line from which the Savior is going to come to save the world, okay? Your kingdom come, your will be done. You're ready to adore him in that way. That's called loyalty. Does it cause you to take a breath when you think about an Apostle Paul who God knocks off his high horse and chooses him to declare the mystery of the gospel to the Gentiles? Paul, who's going to get 39 lashes more than once, and he's going to be shipwrecked. He's going to spend his days and night in cold and hungry. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And yet, you see, Joseph is able to say something like this: you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, because he's a good, good father. And Paul being able to say, I consider all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value, the value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain all that my good, good Father has for me in Christ. Loyalty means living for an audience of one. It means you adore him. And you know what else it means? My last thing here. It means you need him. You need him. Desperate dependence. You need him for the basics. Give us this day our daily bread. Guys, ladies, in a world where I know right now part of what causes us to cross the arms of our heart is we don't want to be weak. You don't want to appear weak. You don't want to choose God's healing over your hiding, because you're sitting there and you're saying, I don't want anybody to know the hell that's going on in my life right now or whenever that hell breaks loose. And I'm telling you, give us this day our daily bread. Zeke, you know, Zeke doesn't have a clue, okay? He doesn't have a clue that his parents are providing him everything he needs, every meal, a roof over his head. He's just not even aware. And I'm telling you, church, we are told we need him. We all need more the help than we think we do. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We need him for the basics, and we need him for forgiveness. So let's be really clear here. For those who are listening online and those who are here, I want you to know, not everyone has God as your father, okay? God is our father in the sense that he has created all of us. But what Jesus is talking about here is a relationship that you enter into with the Father of heaven because you have believed in him. You've believed in his life, death, and resurrection. As many as believed in Jesus, to them he gives the right to become children of God, to all those who believed in his name. Today is the day. If when you hear this, you feel your heart being pulled and the arms of your heart coming uncrossed, today is the day to say, God, I want you as my Father. Jesus, I believe in your life, death, and resurrection. And Christian, I want you to hear this. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those. As we forgive our debtors, those who have sinned against us. When I say we need forgiveness, it's we need to be giving it also. Because it's one of the ways, hear this, you preach the gospel to yourself every day. It's one of the ways you remind yourself of the good news that you do have a Father in heaven, simply based off of his work, not yours. And I'll say this because somebody's going to ask me this if I don't say it. In an overeducated society, somebody's going to come up because you've been hurt so bad for so long by a person over many years, and you say, Neil, how can I forgive that person? When we talk about forgiveness, we're talking about something different than a relationship being restored, okay? Forgiveness is what you got to do in your own heart to make sure you're free, to make sure you're preaching the gospel to yourself, to make sure you understand you get to relate to God as Father. And then he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We all need more help than we think we do. God, don't lead me into a trial where I find myself on this bitter edge where Satan has an opportunity to take me out, okay? That's the idea. And again, if you need to hear more about the reality of the spiritual battle in our life, you can go back to the sermon I preached about Jesus's temptation. You see, Zeke doesn't have a clue. There's a fence in his yard for a reason. That there's locks on the doors because he needs more help than he thinks he does. You see, Zeke, he sees a lock on a door, and you know what he does? One day his mom goes out the door. He closes the door and he locks the door because he thinks it's funny. And his mom's not laughing when she's calling the fire department, okay? But that's the reality. I want to be loyal to that one. I want to be loyal to one I know that I can stand behind him and hide behind him and know that he's going to protect me. Loyalty, living for an audience of one, means this. You relate to God as Father. Amen, church? You will be rewarded. You resist virtue signaling. Not everybody has to know everything. And there's parts of your life reserved for him alone because you want that joy. And you adore him. You practice it. You practice getting your heart washed with the reality of who he is. And you need him. So as our worship team comes and we come to the table here, I want to say something to you who you're really having a hard time right now. Believing this really, really, really can be true for you. Believing that somehow what you saw between Zeke and his dad, God wants between you and him. And maybe you think, you know, we use this term messy lives around here. You just think, man, you know, I'm a big kid with a big, 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 big messy life. I want you to hear, this is how much the Son Jesus worked to bring many sons and daughters to glory. When Jesus was in the garden, he was sorrowful to the point of death. And he looks at what's in store for him to bring you to glory. And he says, Father, if possible, let the cup pass. But then what does he say? What does he pray? Not my will, but your will be done. The Son, Jesus, prayed the very prayer he taught these sons and daughters to pray. Your will be done. And when Jesus is hanging on the cross and they're wagging their heads at him, they're making fun of him, they're spitting him, somebody says the ironic statement, he says he was going to save others and he can't even save himself. And y'all, we know the reason he didn't save himself was so that he could save others, bring many sons and daughters to glory. And upon hearing all that, what does Jesus pray? Father, forgive them. The Lord's Prayer. You see how real this is? Forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Because Jesus' desire was to bring many sons and fathers, daughters to glory, to bring you into a relationship with his Father. So I want to encourage you, if you're at home, to get a piece of bread, and you guys can carefully peel the top layer of your cup to get that bread out. You see, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And right now, you know, right now people are trying to peel this off, and Casey just said, I got it. You know, and we're all kind of self-conscious and anxious. We don't want to spill it. We don't, you know, and I want to tell you what we're about to do is recognize that God did all the work so we don't have to feel like that in our every movement before God. That he is our Father who is so excited that, you know, imagine you come, your dad comes home from work and you go running up and you got jelly on your face and you're a mess and he just takes you in his arms. And here's how it happens. Jesus, at a meal, he took some bread and he said, this is my body which is broken for you, broken people. Take and eat from it, all of you. At the end of the meal, he took a cup. The cup of the new covenant, his blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink from it, all of you.
Let's stand and adore the Father. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure.
So y'all, to bring this full circle, loyalty living for an audience of one, we're going to pray this prayer I've introduced to you before, this Methodist, old Methodist covenant prayer. I call it our prayer of loyalty, okay? Where you say, God, you get to do whatever. And you know what's fascinating? Y'all, when you think about Zeke, what was Zeke doing? He was digging a ditch. And you know, sometimes in life, it feels like my place is to dig ditches. And yet, here's a little kid who can dig a ditch and he's experiencing ultimate joy. Do you see what this means, y'all? That this means that it could be possible that whatever you go from here doing for an audience of one, loyalty, it actually could mean that there could be joy in whatever the call of God is for you, whether it's to be in prison like Joseph or be a ruler like Joseph, right? So, in similar kind of words, let's pray it together here now. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Connect me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty, let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours, so be it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here today. You're dismissed.